Tonight we want to conclude our discussion together of overcoming fear and anxiety. We begin this evening by looking at some further definitions of exactly what we are discussing when we're talking about fear and anxiety. We begin by to define fear and anxiety. It's that to be anxious, solitude, that oppressive care, which springs from an unbelieving doubts and misgivings, which alone here are condemned. And that's from a commentary of the critical expository explanation on the whole Bible by Mr. James Fawcett. And again, this is just a man defining words. He's not giving an opinion, he's just offering a definition. We also look to word pictures in the New Testament by A.T. Roberts. Mr. Roberts says it means to, the verb means because of care or anxiety, distracts, divides. It occurs in Christ's rebuke to Martha for excessive solitude about something to eat. You remember in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is there and there's a crowd there, as usually there was when the Lord's around, and Mary is listening to the words of Jesus, but Martha's about scurrying about making sure everybody's taken care of, and she tells the Lord, why don't you tell Mary to help me? And she says, Martha, and he told Martha, he rebuked her, and he said, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. He says, but Mary has chosen the good thing, and that shouldn't be taken away. And again, it's just showing about excessive anxiousness over things that are beyond our control. Now, there are things that we can legitimately be concerned about and should be concerned about, but there are other things that are beyond our capacity to do anything about. And again, we talked this morning that you know, we need to take this virus seriously. We need to do the things that we can to protect ourselves, to protect others. And you can do everything that the CDC tells you, and it has been already experienced and already known that the virus, you can still contract the virus. And so you just do the best that you can, and what you can't control, we should allow our faith and our trust in God to not get overly concerned to the point that it paralyzes us. I want to share with you a moment. There's a gospel preacher. He's in Louisville. Many of you may know him. He's preached there for many years. He's kind of semi-retired now. A man named Paul Earnhardt. Paul Earnhardt wrote a really good book on the subject of an invitation to a spiritual revolution. And what that book's about, it's about the Beatitudes, and it's a really, really good book, but I want to read you this quote that he has in the book. He says, our fears, as effectively as our passions, have been allowed to be consumed, our energies dominate our lives and steal away from our hearts. Notice what he says, have allowed to be consumed our energies. Anxiety and fear can paralyze you. It can just suck everything that's good out of your life. It can cause you not to be able to think, not to be able to move, not to be able to react. And all the good things in your life, you can't think about them. You can't, let your mind drift to those things because your mind is so filled with anxiety and fear. And so again, there's a danger here. And brother, one of the things I want you to see in this lesson is that you got to find a balance. You got to find that place where you can you can do the things that you can, do the things that you're able, have the capacity to do, but not to worry beyond that. Beyond that, you can pray about it. I pray about it. So it's like I encourage you tonight. I want you to pray for Brother Soffer. That's all I can do. I can't do anything else. I know the doctors and the nurses are doing everything they can, and they'll do everything they can. We hope to spare his life. But again, that's all we can do. We can do nothing else. And so, again, we have to balance this and not allow fear or anxiety to cause us to lose our faith or our trust in God. Now, to continue, in Matthew 13, and we looked at this verse briefly this morning, it says, "But to him who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes out the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Now, I want you to what I want you to think about is, you can consume your mind and your heart upon this virus and let it consume every waking moment of your time, and it will choke out every good thing that you should be grateful for, thankful for, and the blessings that you're still receiving. And you can forget all about those things by just being consumed in one area of your life. You know, we have a term for this. It's called tunnel vision. And what it means is that you're just focusing on one thing and you're not paying attention to any other thing around you. Brother, even though we have to fight this terrible virus and we have this pandemic that's affecting the whole world, we're still being blessed. We still have much to be thankful for. The fact that we're still all here. The fact that we've been blessed, that we haven't contracted it. And some of us that have recovered. We have much to be thankful for. And we need to not forget about that, even though we have this anxious period of time because of the things that we have to endure. Again, you can allow the situation to choke out every good thing that God has given you in your life. And you know what happens is you don't have any happiness. You don't have any contentment. There's no joy. Everything is this misery. It's a burden. It's doom. And it's gloom. And we can't see anything good. Brethren, that's not healthy. It's not healthy. And on top of that, it's going to weaken your faith. You've got to put some trust and faith in God. Now, remember in Matthew 6, we read this morning. "Therefore, I say, you do not worry about your life." Therefore is a connection between materialism and anxiety. This is after the parable of the rich fool. And he taught on, remember the rich fool that he talked about in Luke? Remember he had this great big harvest and he had all this crops and all this stuff and he didn't know what to do with it. So he said, "Well, I'll just tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns and I'll store all that stuff up and I'll have it for years and I can rest in ease and take it easy." And in Luke chapter 12, verse 20, the Lord called that man a fool. Now, was he a fool because he made a judgment about building bigger barns to store his harvest because he didn't have room in the barns? No, that didn't make him a fool. What made him a fool is that he consumed himself with that and wasn't given any consideration about his spiritual condition. He wasn't worried about his relationship with God. And he says tonight, he said he's a fool. He says, because tonight you're going to die. Tonight your soul is going to be required of you by God. And then he asked a proverbial, it's really a rhetorical question to ask it is to answer it. He said, "Then whose will all these things be?" What did he mean? By whose will all these things? They're not going to be, you're not going to be worried about that then. Because you're not taking them with you and you're not even going to worry about them then. Okay, so we're consuming ourselves and we're overwhelming ourselves with anxiety and fear about things that in the end aren't really going to matter, aren't really going to be a benefit to us in any way or the people that we leave behind. And so we need not to worry about our life needlessly. Now that doesn't mean don't worry about your life, Don't worry, walk out in front of a car, walk out in front of a truck, do things that will abuse your body, take drugs that will destroy you. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be concerned with your body. It means don't be overly concerned about things that you can do nothing about. You know what? I do the best I can to provide for my family. I do the best I can to manage my money and budget it in order to take care of the things that I'm responsible for and I need to take care of. You know what? That's all I can do. I can't run the stock market. I can't run the economics of our country. I can't make it not have a shutdown that it affects us economically. I can't do anything about that. And we've all had to deal with this in the last year. We can do nothing about that. Those are things that people make decisions that we have no control over. And so we have to do the best we can. Anxiety reflects a lack of confidence in God. Turn your Bible to Hebrews 13. One of the things that I have found this helpful, maybe it will help you, is when I'm feeling anxious or when I'm not sure or I'm concerned, it helps me to go and read the Bible. It helps me to read certain things that remind me to put things in their perspective, to have the proper perspective of my situation. In 13, in verse 5 and 6, the Hebrew writer wrote, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Brethren, when we are with the Lord and when the Lord is on our side, that's the best position we can be in. No matter what's happening around us, no matter what our physical circumstances may be, if my life's right with God, I'm in the best place that I can be. I'm in the most secure place that I can be. And we can't allow the things that we have no control of for us to forget who's really in control and in whose hands all this is in. You know, the Bible tells us that I can do all things in Philippians 4:13 through Christ which strengthens me. Now, remember, God said he will never leave me nor forsake me. Every person in the world could turn their back on me. Every friend I have could just turn their back upon me, could not help me because they're so consumed with their own situations, their own desires. They could do that. But God will never do that. God will never turn his back on me in the time of need. And if you think back in your life, and if you're really honest, you know that's true. You know God has never forsaken us. Now, can we make the same statement that we've never forsaken God, that we haven't really done the things that we could have done in order to help ourselves, or we really didn't follow his guidelines or his advice, and we got ourselves into situations because we didn't use the wisdom that's contained in the scripture? No, all of us have been there. But we need to remember that our strength is with the Lord. In Romans 8, here's a passage we all understand. I'll be honest with you. When I was younger, I had a lot of problem with this verse because it never made much sense to me. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, how does adversity and how does difficulty and tribulation or persecution or anything in that matter, how can I feel good about that? How can that work out for my good? How can difficulty, adversity, how does that work for my good? Well, let me give you an illustration. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, listen to the words of the Apostle Peter in verse 7. He said that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In this we greatly rejoice, in verse 6, that now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now let me give you a biblical example of this. Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. His father was told that he was dead, was led to believe that he was dead. And for all practical purposes, for 17 years, Jacob thought Joseph was dead. He ended up as a slave for the Midianites. And then he was sold to an Egyptian named Potiphar. And because of his faithfulness to God and his diligence to keep God's law and to be faithful to what he knew God's law taught, when a false accusation was made against him, he suffered by spending 2 years in prison for something that he did not do. And then after he correctly interpreted the dream of a baker who would the next day be let out of prison, and the only thing that Joseph asked in return is, when you get out and you talk to Pharaoh, tell him about me, because I don't deserve to be here. And what happened? He was there 2 more years. Now, put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Here you are striving to be faithful to God, even in all this adversity that's come into your life that you had nothing to do to bring it about. You asked for none of it. You have been trying to be faithful to God, and this is what you got in return. Could that make you bitter? Could that make you doubt God, that he had forgotten about you? But you see, Joseph never forgot that. Joseph never forgot about God. And then let's move fast forward at the end of Joseph's life, at the end of Genesis 50. At the end of Genesis 50, Jacob has now died, his father. And now his brothers think, now he's going to get even. Now he's going to take retribution on what we did to him. And they go to him and they beg him, saying, "We love you, we are your servants, we'll do whatever you tell us to do." And you remember what Joseph told his brothers? He made this statement. He said, "Am I in the place of God?" What did he mean by that? Am I in the place of God? He meant, what was he the one to determine the right or wrong in what they did? He said, "What you did to me, you did it for evil. But God meant it for good, that I might save many people alive this day." You see, Joseph lived long enough to see the benefit that he was in Egypt. Because him being in Egypt was able to be in a position that he not only was able to save his family, he was able to save the nation. And the nation grew in Egypt to fulfill the promise that God made to Abraham, "Through thy seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed." And all of that happened under the adversity that Joseph lived under. What does this passage say? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You got to trust God. It'll all work out. It'll all be better in the long run if we don't lose our faith and our trust to God. And notice the end of this verse. According to his purpose. What is God's purpose for every one of us? To get to heaven. Salvation in Christ. Yeah, that's his purpose. That's his purpose for every human being that lives on the face of the earth. And no matter what you have to endure, no matter what you have to go through, God's desire is that you would be with him in heaven. And the only one that can unturn that desire is us. God's not going to change his mind. That's what God wants. He's not going to change his mind about that. And you think God's going to let adversity come into your life and not try to help you so it doesn't destroy you and destroy your hope in Christ? He's not going to let that happen. He's not going to let that happen because that's not what his purpose is for your life. But does that mean I'm not going to have some difficulty? Does that mean I'm not going to have my share of adversity? Does that mean I'm not going to have my share of heartache? No, it doesn't mean that. What it means is that I'll get through it. I'll be stronger for it. I'll be better equipped for the next hill I got to climb if I don't lose my faith and trust in God. Certainly, those justified being glorified. If God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 says, "If God be for you, Who can be against you? God loved us and gave us His Son that we could have eternal life. And if you keep reading in Romans 8 and you get down to the end of Romans 8, He asked another rhetorical question. What can separate a man from the love of God? What has the ability to separate us from the love of God? Well, let me read you what He says. Beginning in verse 35 of chapter 8. He asked a question, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now listen to what He says. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long, and we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And then He adds, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, no other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what those verses say? Nothing the devil and this world can throw at us can destroy us spiritually. Nothing has the ability to do that. Think about that. Think about all the adversity. Think about all the turmoil and all the things that we've experienced in last year. Civil unrest, political unrest, the pandemic, and all the stuff that's gone on. None of that has the ability to destroy us. If, and that's the key, if we remain with God. If we trust Him. Do not worry about your life. God is going to take care of us. You know what Matthew 6 verse 8 says? He says that He knows what we need even before we ask. Why ask Him? Well, it demonstrates faith. How many of you could quote this verse? Therefore, be humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon you, for He cares for you. God cares for us. God's concerned about us. God loves us. Has that ended because of the pandemic? Is God not aware of what's going on down here? Is God not aware of what's going on in the world? Is God not aware of that somehow? That escape his watch? No. And He understands. He understands the adversity that that brings into our life. He understands that. But He's not going to turn His back on us in our greatest time of need. We could cast our care on Him. He'll listen. He'll help. He'll encourage us. He'll help us deal with it. Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Notice, you can make supplication, you can make requests to God, you can pray to God, but you need to be thankful at the same time. Let your request be made known to God, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? When you've done all you can, and you've done all you can to make good decisions, to do the best you can to deal with the problem at hand, you can pray and you can thank God for His love and His care and His compassion, and you can lay your head on the pillow and you can go to sleep. And if you never wake up, it's okay. Who has the ability to be able to do that? Only a Christian. Only a true, believing, faithful, trusting Christian can do that. The world could be going, have utter chaos. There could be all kinds of difficulty going on in the world. Think about last summer. Think about all the stuff that was going on in our country. Think about cities burning, buildings being burned, policemen being shot, all the political upheaval, the pandemic is rare. Think about all the stuff that's going on. How can I have any peace of mind? How can I not be worried and concerned and overwhelmed and paralyzed by what's happening? I serve someone that's greater than all that stuff. I serve somebody that'll take care of me about all that stuff. But you know, sometimes if we think too much about the stuff, we forget about God. And He's our greatest strength. He's our greatest ally. Certainly we have come to understand that now better than any other time in our life. Jesus repeats this command 3 times in these passages. Don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink. God knows you need food. He knows you need water. He knows you need to have the provision of life. He knows that. He's going to make it possible through your ability and opportunity that He presents in your life. He's going to make it possible that you're going to be able to take care of that. Don't worry about what you should wear. Don't worry about that. God's going to take care of you. You're not going to go through naked and freeze to death in winter. You're not going to have enough clothing in the summer. Or don't worry about tomorrow. What does He mean, don't worry about tomorrow? You can't do anything about tomorrow. I can't do anything about tomorrow. I could pray. You know, all of us sitting here tonight, we got plans of what we're going to do tomorrow. We have plans, you know. This afternoon, while I was watching the football game, I had my iPad on and I was going over my schedule for tomorrow, what I'm hoping I plan to do. But you know what? I don't know if I'll be able to do any of that stuff. I don't know if I'll get any of that done. Every week on Saturday, I set my schedule for the next week. And I do that because I'm old and I'm getting forgetful. So I write it all out. But you know what? Every week I know that I might not get any of that stuff done. But that's okay. I'm going to trust God to the best of my ability, and with His help, I'll get it done. And you know, for almost 10 and a half years now, He's been pretty good to me. I've been able to get it done. So you got to trust Him. All the things going around us are just noise. You got to shut down the noise. And you got to focus on what you can do. But then you got to leave it alone. And you got to move forward. Now, doesn't that sound easy? That just sounds so simple, don't it? Yeah, it's simple to tell you. It's a little bit harder to put it into practice. What examples did He use? He said, look at the birds of the air. An example of God's ability and willingness to provide through for His providential workings in nature. You know, when I lived out in Vegas, you could go out in the desert in July, and it was 130 or 40 degrees. And you know what? I'd see birds out there. I didn't see a drop of water anywhere. I saw very little vegetation. Who takes care of them? Who takes care of those birds? God does. God takes care of that. Now, what's the point? The point that if God can take care of the birds, can He take care of us? Are we not more valuable than the birds of the air? I think so. We were the last thing God created. We were made in His image. I think we have more importance than a bird, don't we? Then He said, which one of you, by worrying, He illustrates the helplessness of man. Shows the absolute absurdity and futility of fretting over things that we have no power to change. I'm never going to have any more hair on my head unless I buy a wig. And no matter how much I worry about it, it's not going to happen. You know, one of the things I always wanted to do, one of those things on your bucket list, I wanted to go down Pacific Coast Highway, and I've done that, but I wanted to go down in a convertible. And I wanted to put the top down. So the wind would blow on my hair, I better hurry up and get it done. But you know what? I may never get it done. But you know what? It's not going to do me any good for me to pray that I have long hair over my shoulder. It's not going to happen. And I have no control over that. So should I fret about it because my hairline's receding, my hair's getting thinner? Every time I go to the barbershop, I look down after he cuts my hair, I notice it's getting grayer and grayer. I can't do anything about that. What's the point? The point is, there's things that we're just going to have to accept. There's just things we're going to have to accept. And no matter how much we want it to be different, there's things that's beyond our capacity to change. Brethren, I'd like this virus to be over tonight. Be done. And we could get back to packing this building again for all of us to be together and that we could hug each other and shake each other's hand. I'd like that to happen tomorrow. But that's out of my hands. I don't have the ability to do that. I'm just going to have to trust God that when the time is right, it will happen. And it will happen. I don't know when. I wish I had a crystal ball and I could give you a date. I can't. But it will happen. Which of you worrying can undo the past? Have you had things in your life you'd like to rewrite? You know, you have little things in your ledger. So, man, I'd like to erase that out there so it's nobody can see that. Can we do that? No. What about determining future events? Wouldn't any of us like to know in our mind exactly what our kids and grandkids are going to do? You know, I remember when I was younger, I prayed and asked God to let me live long enough to see what my children would do. Now I got grandchildren. So now my prayer has been amended a little. Now I pray and ask God to let me live long enough to see what my grandchildren would do. And if I live long enough to have great-grandchildren, I'll probably amend that again. But pretty soon, I'm going to get too far out there. It's not going to happen. But you see, I can't determine future events. I can make plans. I can set aside that. I can do everything I can do to prepare for the future. But I can't predict what's going to happen in the future. I can't, you know, I have a concern about the way things are going. If they continue going in a certain way, I'm concerned about where it's gonna go, but I've done all I can to do anything about that. And so I'm just gonna have to trust God on that. Change the weather. You know, I got a lot of friends and the older I get, if I could change the weather, I'd never have to deal with snow anymore. Because the older I get, I don't like to shovel it. I don't like to drive through it. But you know what? I'm not a weatherman. I don't have any control about that. Changing others' will. Can I change somebody's attitude about me? I can't change that. I can treat them with respect. I can love them. I can pray for them. I can try to be kind and compassionate and considerate and empathetic. I can do all that. That's all I can do. I can't change it. If he has a bad opinion of me, there's nothing I can do to change it. I'm just going to have to accept that. Make the healthy sick man. You know what? The television evangelist, the one thing that they do that really, just really gets beside me is that they're claiming that they can heal the sick. You know, when I'm in a hospital or I'm in a nursing home and a brother or sister is really suffering, how I wish I could lay my hand like Jesus could. Or just touch my garment and that person could be well. If I had that ability, I'd be on a plane to Missouri to see Brother Stauffer tonight. If I had the ability to take away what he's dealing with. I don't got that ability. I don't have that kind of ability, and you don't either. How do you stop aging? You know, I had a good friend, he's passed away now, and I'd always ask him how he's doing. And he'd say, I'm doing well, it's a lot better than the alternative. I had another friend, when I'd ask him that, he goes, well, I'm above the ground, so I'm doing well. You see, I'm not going to stop the aging. And brethren, I'm not going to stop the virus. I don't have the ability to do it, and neither do you. The virus is going to do what every virus does. And what viruses do is they infect people. Now, we could do things to protect ourselves. We could do things to protect other people. But in the end, the virus is going to do what the virus does. And that's what it's been doing for a year. Now, I'm going to tell you, just for whatever this is worth, that this virus is unlike any virus I've ever seen. Most viruses run their course, they die off, and that's the end until another season. But this one hasn't done that. Tells me it's a very different virus than any kind of virus we've ever had. But you know what? That's all I can do. And brethren, this is the emphasis I want to leave you with tonight. It is not wrong to be concerned. It is not wrong to do things to prepare and to protect yourself and protect others. None of that is wrong, and all that is wisdom. All that is using knowledge and wisdom in the proper way. But after you've done all that you can do, after we have done everything that was humanly possible from our standpoint to deal with the problems that are going on around us, pray and ask God for strength and comfort and compassion and watch care over you and your loved ones. I pray every day for every member of this church. I don't want any of you to get this virus. I don't want to see any of you lose your life. And I'm going to do everything in my power that I can help that not happen. But you know what? There's a limit to what I can do. There's a limit to what you can do. And what I'm asking you is, you do what you can, take the precautions you think are necessary, and then get on with your life. Don't allow this to paralyze you in fear. Don't allow this to overwhelm you that it takes all the joy out of your life and all the happiness. Because that's not what God wants you to do. God wants you to trust Him. God wants you to have faith in Him. And God wants you to move forward and not remain status quo. Brethren, fear and anxiety is the enemy. We can defeat the enemy by trusting and putting our faith in God and doing the things that we have the ability to do to protect us, to protect others, and pray to God and ask for His watch care. And then we move forward and we trust whatever the results may be. And you know what? I can't guarantee you that you won't get it. I can't guarantee myself that I won't get it. But I will guarantee you this. The most it can do is kill you. But it can't destroy your relationship with God and your hope in heaven unless you allow it to do. Because we are dealing with this pandemic, our duty and responsibility to God does not stop. It's not on hold. It's not on a vacation. We still have duties and responsibilities that God has given us. You know what? I'm still a husband. I have responsibilities to my wife. I'm still a grandfather. I have responsibility to my grandchildren. I'm an evangelist of this church. I have responsibilities and duties that I cannot skirt because of what's going on. And every one of us have those type of responsibilities. We protect ourselves, we do what we can, we pray about it, and then we move forward. And we don't allow the situation to paralyze us with fear and anxiety that destroys the love that we have for God or the love that we have for one another. Please take your song books down and turn to the song that Brother Ron has selected. I hope this lesson has been an encouragement. Again, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you what degree to do it, and I'm not telling you what course to pursue. That's not what this lesson's about. This lesson's about putting your faith and trust in God, doing what you have the ability to do, and then moving forward and not allowing anxiety and fear to grip you, to paralyze you, and to destroy the good of the things that God gives you in this life. Brethren, we're still here. We're still breathing. and we still have hope in Christ Jesus. And if I lay my head on my pillow tonight and I don't wake up, I hope I can see it is well with my soul. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what's most important? And I hope and pray that we will have that attitude. So if you're here and there's anything we can do to help you, to encourage you, pray with you, for you, to do anything that will help you deal with anything that you may be dealing with in your life, we're here to help you. And we bid you to come forward as together we stand as we sing.
Sing the first, second, last verse.
Table is prepared from this morning. If there be those here that wish to partake.